Good evening. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Now, before I get started, I'd like to say a quick prayer. There's a balcony. Dear Father in Heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to be used by you to present your word. Lord, I just ask you to use me as an effective tool to enlighten these brothers and sisters that are here. And I pray you'd help beneficial words to come out of my mouth from you, Lord. And I pray you'd help it to be an encouragement to those that are here. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so now I want to talk a little bit about the unity of the body. So if you turn with me to Ephesians 4. So here Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 4:1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. I like what Brother Reed was saying this morning about how some people are sent overseas or receive God's calling and accept it, and they go to the mission field or they do whatever God calls of them to do. And then there's these other people who are like, oh, I ain't doing that. I'm just going to sit back here and just keep my bench warm or keep my spot nice and warm so next Sunday I'll be good to go. But we've all received a calling from God. And there's an illustration I used a while ago that I thought of. Like, this guy is looking for a job, and he goes out, he's got a big, huge mondo stack of applications, and he goes and fills them all out, turns them all in, and then he's sitting by the phone waiting for the phone to ring, and then finally he gets his phone call, but he's off the bathroom or something, he can't get to it. So by the time he finally gets to the phone, the answering machine kicks on, and the dude leaves a message and he's like, yeah, I got this job for you. It looks like you might have the qualifications. If you're interested, give me a call back and we'll talk. So, the guy, he was interested in the job and he turned in the application, and in order to get the job, not only did he have to pick up the phone and call the guy back, he actually has to go in and work in the show. For the interview, you have to show what he can do. But back to Ephesians. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The first point I'm going to talk about is bearing with one another. As part of the unity of the body, everyone has different needs and things where we struggle with, and as a family and as a body, we're supposed to bear with one another and help each other overcome whatever shortcomings we may have. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. If you'll turn with me to Philippians 2. Verses 1 through 11. Here Paul is writing to the church in Philippi. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship from the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and being one in spirit and purpose. Notice the being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider each other, or consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own needs and interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then Ephesians 5:1-2, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant sacrifice to God. So if we follow these outlying qualities that Paul has found the church in Ephesus and Philippi to live by, it's a lot easier for us to bear with one another if we consider each other better than ourselves. So, going back to my illustration, everyone who is in Christ has received the call. And everyone who has been saved is attending church regularly, who partakes of the Lord's Supper and participates with the fellowship, has listened to the message. So now it's to the point where, what do I do from there? Where do I go from there? And back in verse 4. Back in verse 3, excuse me. My next point, the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So as we're to make every effort to keep the unity through the Spirit of the bond of peace. So in the list, all things we're called to do, we're called to one hope, and one Lord, and one faith, and one baptism, and one God and Father of all. It is not a matter of salvation in the church. It shouldn't matter if it would be something that divides the church. Most of you know that I'm engaged. I'm going to be married in a couple weeks to a very beautiful young lady. And I was thinking about her as I was getting this ready, and how Christ views us as his bride. And I was thinking, well, what if she one day just was like walking down the street or doing whatever she does, and all of a sudden she started smacking herself around, calling herself names? I was like, I think that would probably drive me crazy. And I thought, that's the same thing that God does when he looks at the church, griping over, oh, you can't drink coffee in here. That's a brand new carpet, or through any other petty difference that we may have. If it's not a matter of salvation, it shouldn't matter. Living out the gospel, the Great Commission, partaking of the Lord's Supper and fellowship should be four of the most important aspects of the church. So we need to remember the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The life we now live through grace is the main thing. It's the reason we're all here. Without grace, there would not be hope for any of us. we all would be condemned together if it were not for grace. But Christ would rather us be together, united under His leadership. Hebrews 9, verses 15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new creation, new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that He has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In 1 Peter 4, 7 through 9. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled, so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. So, in bearing with one another, if we offer hospitality without grumbling, then there's less divisions in the church that way. And then we have the unity of gifts and putting them into practice. Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. But to each of us, each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. This is why it says, when He ascended on high, He led captives in His train and gave gifts to men. What does it mean, He ascended? Or what does He ascended mean, except that He also descended to the lower, earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended, higher than all the heavens, in order to fill the whole universe. It was He that gave some to be prophets, some to be apostles, some to be evangelists, and some to be preachers and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ will be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. We become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speak the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself in love as each part does its work. So God has appointed some of us to be preachers and teachers and Sunday school class teachers, song leaders, whatever we do. We all grow as each part does its work. And this is where the fluff stops after the phone rings and the setup interview. You fluff yourself up, but then you actually have to go on and prove what you can do. And that's the hard part. Matthew 25, 14 through 30 talks about the talents and how one man was given the five talents, one was given two, and one was given one. And the one that had the five talents went and earned five more. and one had the two, and then earned the two more. But the one who only had one went and hid it in the ground. And when the master came back, he wasn't happy with the way the man with the one had. Verse 28, it says, take the talent from the one who has, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and everyone, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have any, even what he has, it will be taken from him, and throw that worthless servant out into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, in parables that Jesus likes to tell, weeping and gnashing of teeth usually means hell. So, we can all see where this is going, and I know that I wouldn't want to be on the reciprocating end of that stick. So we need to take the gifts that God has given us and put them into practice. Turn back with me to 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4, 10, and 11. Each one of you should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Another requirement that God has for us, for the job that he has for us, since he's called us up, is to find out what your gift is and to use it. A lot of us have probably heard the saying, use it or lose it. I think the parable of talents kind of proves that with God too. The one that didn't use the talent that he was given, even though it may not have been very much. Since he didn't use it, it was taken away from him. In 2 Peter 1 verses 10, so therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a command followed by a very worthwhile reward. The work may be hard, but the pay is out of this world. In 1 Corinthians, so you may be thinking, okay, so what do I need to do now? I turned in the application, I waited for the phone call, God called me up, but now what do I do? So, 1 Corinthians, First Corinthians 10, 31 through 11, 1. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews or Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example, as I follow that of Christ. And then Colossians 3:17. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And later on, in verse 23 and 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So it doesn't really matter what you do, as long as you're actively honoring God by what you do and by the service to Him. And then my last and final point, as we follow Christ, and as we do the unpopular thing at work and at school, we know God tells us that men are going to hate us and persecute us. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 10, verses 22. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm till the end will be saved. So it's pretty clear right there. The men are going to hate us if we do what God wants us to do. And back in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 through 17. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through the belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings that we have passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragements and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. So, once you get the job, the important thing is you have to work to prove all the stuff you said in the application and in the interview process. And you have to stand firm. And in conclusion, going back to 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Christ Jesus is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So, in conclusion, we need to be ready for action. We need to, there are times when people are going to, the occasion that people may come up to you and ask you, they may notice the difference in the way you live. They'll come up to you and ask you, like, why do you have this hope, or what's the point in the way you live, or why do you do this? I've had people ask me, they work on a construction where I work, they're like, what's the point? If you died and there wasn't a God, wouldn't you rather just gone out and just lived a life? And I was like, my response to him was, no, because I know that, like, some little, like, I maybe drop my wallet and have $50 in it. With the friends I have now, I know that I'd probably get my money back. But if I didn't, and I lost my wallet in the world, I may get the wallet back, possibly, but for sure there's not going to be the money in it. And he was just kind of struck by that. And there's a lot more good things about the church than there is about the world. But we have to be prepared to live the gospel, and to just be ready to answer any questions that people may have. And that's it.